Thank you, David, and good afternoon to all of you. Good afternoon to all those also listening in on the website. Hello. Nice to see you here. Glad you're with us. Well, we would have been at the camp out today, but there's a lot of rain in the forecast, so we'll have the announcement later about the postponement. But glad we're all here today. I'd like to ask you a question to start out my message. How do you look at your time here on Earth? In other words, maybe I could phrase it, what are you doing with your time here on Earth? Brethren, if we're seeking to enter the kingdom of God, you focus everything that you do on attaining that goal. And that is the hallmark of a godly person. He is always doing good to achieve or to attain that goal where he's going, he or she is going. And even in our weaknesses, that person focuses only on that, only seeks to do God's will. Our works, brethren, everything that we do and say will be called into account on the day of judgment. And I'd like you to turn with me to the first scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and let's look at this verse here and see that our works, what we do and what we say, are the measure of our faith. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. And this is a familiar scripture. I know we've seen this many times. As it says, verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done," that is, according to your works, each of us, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Of course, the Apostle Paul understood that we must give account for our works. This is why he writes this. But he also, in several places, encouraged the brethren to always be doing good works. And you could find that throughout his writings. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 now. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, because this verse right here, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, is forming the basis for this message today. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16. One of my favorites, actually, of the Apostle Paul. Verse 16. "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." That word established, or in the King James, if you have a King James in front of you, it's establish, there's no E, but that word establish in the New King James is from the Greek word sterizo, sterizo. It's spelled S-T-E-R-I-Z-O, sterizo. And it's the Strong's G4741, and the meaning of that word, brethren, contains a lesson for us today. Sterizo means to set fast and to turn resolutely in a certain direction. And that is the lesson for us in this word, that we are steadfast or set fast, turned resolutely in the direction of the kingdom of God. We must apply the meaning of that word, establish, to our lives. How do you become so established, brethren, in your calling? How do you become so established and set fast and resolute in your calling that you want to do every good word and work, as the Apostle Paul says here, established in every good word and work? And the answer really is right there in that word. It means you are so set fast in the faith that you turn resolutely and don't turn, you go in the direction of the kingdom of God. Have you come to that place in your life where that is your only goal and everything you do and everything you say is to meet that goal? If you are established in the faith, in every sense of what that word established means, then you've reached that place. Your works, brethren, what you do, what you say, defines who you are. Every one of the seven churches in Revelation that Christ spoke to, gave a message to, he said to them, I know your works. I know your works. And as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, by our works we will be called into judgment. And Paul wanted the brethren, his brethren, to be completely devoted to fulfilling God's purpose for their lives. And that is what God wants for us today. Christ in the Father, he said, as Christ in the Father, Paul wrote, would comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So that's the title of the message today, established in every good work. And the purpose of this is to determine if you are, if those good works define your life. If those good works define your life, that's the purpose of this message today. If you are fulfilling God's word for your life, then good works will define you. That's what you will be known by. Let's go over to Let's go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Read a verse here in Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. Another saying of the Apostle Paul. Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. This is a faithful saying. You could take this to the bank. This is a faithful saying. And these things I want you to affirm constantly, as Paul is writing to Titus, the minister. Affirm constantly that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Maintaining good works in everything. This is what God wants for you and for me. And he knows we're not perfect, but he wants us to keep doing the works of righteousness. Stay on that path and always do good works. As Paul says, this is a faithful saying. This is a faithful saying to be careful to maintain good works. Notice chapter 2 here in Titus, chapter 2 and verse 11. Beautiful section of scripture here, Titus 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Get rid of those evil works. Looking then, verse 13, for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, verse 14, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, from every evil work, and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works, not evil, good works. Speak these things, he says to Titus, speak these things and exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no one despise you. And that's what I'm bringing you today. This message that we must be zealous for good works. And if this defines your life, if people look at you and say, whatever he does or she does, I know it is for the purpose of reaching the kingdom of God, and we know that about you, then what has happened in your life is that the word of God has taken root. It is bearing fruit and taken root in you. And if the word of God has taken root in you, you are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. This is then the first way I will point out how we can know that our lives are defined by good works, that we hunger and thirst for righteousness. So that's the first point. Righteousness is all that you want. Nothing else matters. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst, Christ said, for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, Christ taught in the parable of the sower, we're very familiar with that, how some receive the word of God. On some, it takes root for a short time, but doesn't remain. And that's like the word that fell in the stony place. He who received the seed, as the parable goes, on the stony place, this is he who hears that word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself. But he endures for a little while. And when the tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. We're very familiar with that parable. It's in three of the Gospels. But, as Christ explained, the one who received the word on the good ground keeps that word steadfast, like that word established means, sterizo, within himself. He hears the word, Christ says, understands it, and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30, as this parable goes. And so these are the ones that have received that word, and that word has taken root. They keep growing, and they become firmly established, even through tribulation that basically discouraged the ones who fell on stony ground. When tribulation, persecution arose, they fell away. But the godly person, firmly established in the word, only wants to do good. That's the only thing that he wants to do. That will be your passion above everything. Nothing else will satisfy. Let's take a look at Psalm 119 for a moment. Psalm 119 and verse 10. Because here in a few verses describes the heart of one to whom nothing else matters except the righteousness of God. That's the only thing this person wants. Verse 10 of Psalm 119, if you're there with me. Psalm 119 and verse 10. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Lives by every word of God. Always doing good. God's word is in your life. If this describes you here, if that's you, then nothing else matters. Verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Nothing else is greater than the value of righteousness. Does that define you? I will meditate, verse 15, on your precepts and contemplate your ways. Do you do that? I will delight myself in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. That describes the heart of someone who is fixed on righteousness. Nothing else. You direct everything you do, everything you say, toward God's way of life and attaining your goal. It will define your character. This is what people will see in your life when they look at you, when they think about you. Even those who don't understand God's word and who know you, what do they say about you? Do they see the goodness of God in you? If you're focused on the kingdom of God, brethren, they will. They will see the good works that are evident in your life. Let's come over now back to the New Testament, to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. And see what Paul, again, referring to Paul again, Colossians chapter 1, where Paul wanted for his brethren, as he prayed for their lives to be full of good works. Verse 9, as he's praying for his brethren, this is how he prays for his brethren. Verse 9 of Colossians 1, for this reason also, since the day we heard it, We do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and understanding and spiritual understanding. And that verse 10, you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So if you're fulfilling God's will for your life, God's purpose for your life, this is all you want. The knowledge of God and to do his way above everything else. Does that define you? This is where you should see, this is the goodness that you should see in your life, where you look at your life and you look around in your life and see that there is goodness in every direction. Every direction. This is what your life must become. So make your life defined by good works that God has ordained for you to do. Let's go to Ephesians, one verse here in Ephesians. As God has ordained for us to do good works, to walk in them, as this verse says in Ephesians 10. We are, verse 10, Ephesians 2, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And that, of course, means doing his commandments to their fullest and every part of your life, doing God's word or fulfilling God's word, obeying his commandments, even to every thought and intent of your heart. So become strong, brethren, and well established in every good work, as the Apostle Paul wrote. Be established in every good work. God wants to see your life filled with good things, and he wants you to become strong in good works. And when you endure long in the faith, brethren, when you hold on, when that word has fruit in you, and you hold on, holding fast through many trials, like the seed that fell on the good ground endured, even when trials arose, what happens is that you become then well-grounded. You become established and strong. So here's the second point. This is the second way to tell if your life is fulfilling God's purposes for you, that you endure all things patiently. You endure all things patiently. That you wait long and have patience for the reward, confident in God's promises. There are many examples in scriptures we could look to of those who waited patiently for the fulfillment of God's promises. Hebrews chapter 11, of course, the faith chapter, many examples listed right there. Many have died in the faith with full assurance of their salvation. Some of them we have known personally who died in full assurance of their salvation, died in the faith. Or perhaps we've been informed of their faith, their faithful endurance right to the end. And that's what God wants us to do also. That will define your life, if your life is filled with good works. So James chapter 5, let's go look at a verse in James chapter 5. Talking about being patient and to endure long. Be patient, verse 7 of James 5. Be patient, therefore, brethren. Until when? Until the coming of the Lord, until the end. That's what it means. Until the coming of the end of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. As an example, look at how the farmer waits for the fruit of the earth. He waits patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. And verse 8, James 5, you also be patient. Establish your hearts. And that word, brethren, is the same word that we looked at earlier, sterizo. Establish means set fast on a certain direction. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Even when tribulations come, the righteous will not give up. That defines the life of a Christian, that he won't give up, endures patiently, endures the trial, and becomes stronger for it. As I said, we have many examples of such men and women in the faith who have kept up the good works to the very end. I'd like to read you one. This was a prayer request posted in early May on the United Church of God's extensive prayer list. It's written by Paul Moody, who is a pastor in Kennewick, Washington. So here's an example for you of someone who endured all things patiently until the very end. Paul Moody writes, announcing the death of Lionel Marquez. Probably some of you read this prayer announcement. Lionel Marquez, from Paul Moody, pastor of the Kennewick, Washington congregation. Mr. Moody writes, on behalf of the Marquez family, thank you for all your heartfelt and loving prayers for Lionel. He died of COVID, by the way. He finished his race yesterday afternoon with his wife Linda by his side. He now sleeps, awaiting the reward of the saints. And the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Sabbath morning, this would have been May 1st, just 2 months ago, Lionel entered a rapid decline. As his oxygen levels dropped, he determined that he did not want to go back. He did not wish to go back onto the ventilator or receive further treatment. He simply requested to be with Linda, his wife. Lionel was able to converse with her as she read scriptures to him from the Bible, and they discussed their mutual faith in God's plan of salvation and the resurrection at the return of Jesus Christ. Lionel was a faithful father, husband, and servant to the people of God, Mr. Moody continues. He took great joy in the opportunities he had to serve others, and he especially loved to gather the brethren together for fellowship and food whenever possible. And please continue to remember Linda, Felicia, I believe that's the daughter, Felicia, and the rest of the Marquez family in your prayers as they walk through this difficult transition. And please also remember the Kennewick congregation in your prayers. Lionel was a longtime pillar in their midst. He will be greatly missed. What a beautiful example that is, brethren, of someone who endured the trials right to the very end. In our own church, beautiful example. Enduring trials, brethren, if you're doing that, what does that do for you? It gains us experience. Let's look at a couple of verses in Romans 5. I know these are familiar to us, but they fit well with the context of the sermon today. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, notice this. Of course, familiar again, but very appropriate here. Verse 3 of Romans 5, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Our trials, brethren, when we endure them faithfully, they perfect us. They perfect us. And that should be apparent in your life, that you endure all things patiently. As we're talking about this other characteristics that is in the life of the Christian filled with good works, always enduring patiently in every trial. Let's look at 1 Peter for a moment. 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll look at one verse here that fits in with this point here. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. Verse 10 of 1 Peter 5. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, same word, strengthen, and settle you. So if, when you endure those things in your life, the trials of your life, you will become more deeply established, as Peter writes here. And that brings me to the third point. If your life is filled with good works, you only want righteousness, you endure all things patiently, and you become established. The meaning again, set fast in a resolute direction toward the kingdom of God. For the example here of scripture, let's go to Psalms chapter 1. And I know we're all familiar with this beautiful psalm to open the psalm chapter 1, talking about the character of the righteous one, the righteous man, the righteous woman. This, we'll look at the first six verses here of Psalm 1, describes the character of the righteous person who is strongly established like a tree. That's the example here, like a tree. Verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. The counsel of the ungodly is following whatever seems right in your own mind. But his delight, verse 2, is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. That's the only thing that he wants. There's nothing more that satisfies the godly person. And he shall be, verse 3, like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The godly one does not go in the way of the sinners. He only loves doing good. He becomes planted like a tree, bringing forth fruit by the rivers of water. But the ungodly, verse 4 then, are not so. But what are they like? They're not established. They are like the chaff that the wind drives away. They're just, there's no established, not established. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows, verse 6, the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The end of the way of the sinner, the path of the ungodly, is death. They'll perish. But the godly man stays out of that way, delights in God's law, becomes strong like a tree, and he will stand in the judgment, because he's so well established by the works that he or she has done, like a tree planted by the riverside. And when you hold fast in the faith, when you do that and endure those trials, you put down roots and you become stronger. And the tree really is a beautiful analogy of this, because trees live many years, sometimes centuries. And Christian growth, our growth, is meant to be like a process. It doesn't happen overnight where character just all of a sudden pops up. It takes time. It lasts a lifetime. But the strength of godly character, like a tree, will remain. A well-rooted and strong tree that has seen many storms, many seasons, endured through all of them, spread roots and grown thicker, like trees grow thicker year by year, adding another growth, ring of growth to it. So it is with the godly one, the godly person who is established and firmly set. Their direction is set and they don't waver. If this is you, brethren, like a tree planted, then you are firmly established in every good work and work, word and work. Firmly established in every good word and work. Let's remember that our works define our faith. For as James wrote, we know this, faith without works is dead. If you have no works to show that your faith is dead if the works don't show it. And therefore, as James also wrote, therefore be doers of the word. The book of Ecclesiastes ends, and we won't turn there, but this is a familiar verse. I'll read it to you. Ecclesiastes ends with this, as we come toward the conclusion here. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. By our works we will be known. As Christ said to the churches in Revelation, let's go to Revelation, this time chapter 19. Take a look at one verse, a couple verses here. God, he knows our work. Christ knows our work. Revelation 19. And when that day comes, brethren, when our blessed hope appears, as we read about in Titus, our blessed hope, when that appears, we will appear. If our works define us as one who is firmly established in the faith, has endured all things, and then we will, verse 7, be glad and rejoice, then, with verse 7 of Revelation 19. And we will be giving him glory, as it says here. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her, verse 8, it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. What is this fine linen? The fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints, the works that they do. Like Paul hoped for his brethren, I hope that you are defined by your good works in every aspect of your life. And if you're fulfilling God's will for your life, that is how people will know you. They will define you. Righteousness and the pursuit of the kingdom of God will be all you want. There won't be anything else. And you will endure patiently every trial. As we read that beautiful example of Lionel. And you'll be firmly established. Set fast like that tree by the riverside. Set fast, as that word established means. And turned resolutely in the direction of the kingdom of God. Let's turn to one final verse. This one is Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And let's go to verse 20 there in Hebrews 13. It's concluding the book here of Hebrews. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is pleasing, well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We started this sermon, or close to the beginning of it, I had you turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You can turn there. I guess we will turn to one more scripture, but you don't have to. I'll read it to you. And then after I read it to you, we're going to hear a song of these very words. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. It's by Robert Evans. It's called Comfort Your Hearts, as this verse reads. Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work.
Consolation and good hope through